This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I will just note here as we get going that on Monday morning when we all woke up, we thought it was going to be Infrastructure Week, the third one, I think, maybe the fourth. 5 days later, things look a lot different for a whole lot of reasons. We are going to talk about what happened in business and the economy and what it means with Catherine Rampell of The Washington Post. Also, Neela Richardson from Redfin. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
Neela, let me start with you. I want to go back a little bit to the jobs report that we got a week, 10 days ago, showing wages going up and everybody kind of freaking out a little bit about inflation. And then we got CPI and people were freaked out about inflation more. Are we worrying too much about the prospect of rising prices in this economy?
Yes, we are. And we're seeing 1 month of really positive news on the wage front. And we're saying that that's a trend in terms of inflation. But we need to see many more months of wage increases to really see an overheating of the economy. And the reaction by the stock market was really compelling. I mean, huge drops on this fear of rising rates, that the Fed would have to cool down the economy and take away the punch bowl. That just is more evidence that the economy is not the stock market. And vice versa. And we still need to see more wage growth before there's any fear of the kind of inflation that would prompt the stock market correction like we saw earlier.
Right. So fair enough. And yes, the stock market was overbought. But Catherine, let me pick up on something Neela said and have you spin it out. This idea that the Fed now is going to raise rates more precipitously than they might have in the coming like year, 18 months. We are going to be borrowing a lot of money in this economy over the next 8 to 10 years. And yet both Gary Cohn, the president's chief economic advisor, the head of the National Economic Council, and Kevin Hassett, the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors in the White House, basically said this week, deficits, meh, what? Help me understand that.
Yeah, there are a few things to unpack there. One is that suddenly there seems to be this fiscal flip-flop within the Republican Party, of course, that they used to be very concerned about deficits. Now they're not. But it's not only the hypocrisy that I think we should be talking about, and there's been lots of commentary about that. It's the timing of this reversal, right? When we heard a lot of concerns about deficits from Republicans was mostly when Barack Obama was in office, yes, but also shortly after the Great Recession, after the financial crisis, when you could make an argument that there was a good reason to be running up our debt because the economy needed it. Today is a completely different situation in that we have unemployment at 4.1%. You know, the economy has been doing well. We're in right now one of the longest recoveries on record. And so to be expanding our deficits now, to be running up debt now, is a completely different situation. And that suggests that maybe it is less called for, that the timing of this reversal, in other words, this policy reversal, is a little bit inopportune.
Neela, let me ask you then, what is going on here? Because Mick Mulvaney, when he was in now the director of the Office of Management and Budget, when he was in Congress, was a huge deficit hawk. He comes out and stands before reporters and says, you know, points for candor. He said, listen, I can't honestly tell you with a straight face this budget is going to balance. But he now is presiding over a budget that has $1 trillion in deficits annually in years to come. What is going on?
A very awkward dance for political reasons. Look, the Republicans have promised many things, but one thing they are set on is 3% economic growth. And at a time when the Fed is trying to slow the economy down by raising short-term rates, the Republican Party has decided to throw kerosene on the economy and in hopes to getting this 3%. That means you have to set aside your beliefs about deficits and fiscal balance and focus on growth and growth alone at all costs. And we're paying those costs in the form of $1 trillion deficits. So Mulvaney is part of this awkward dance that the Republicans are doing, trading off fiscal discipline for economic growth at 3%.
Catherine, let me ask you to riff on that for a second, a little bit on the idea of growth. And I want to frame it this way. The immigration deals that the Senate was working on collapsed yesterday. There were four of them. That means we're not going to get DACA. We're not going to get a wall. But it does seem clear that what the president is looking for, based on his comments, is some kind of restriction of legal immigration. Now we have an economy at full employment. He wants to cut the number of immigrants in this economy. Talk to me about growth and how we get there with that.
I think it will be very, very challenging. We already have major demographic drag on growth. I mean, part of the reason why we have forecasts for growth going forward that's lower than it has been, you know, over the last, let's say, 40 years, is that you have baby boomers who are retiring, who are leaving the workforce. And that means that there won't be as many people, adding right. their productive capacity to the economy, which is an argument potentially for finding other ways to grow the workforce, i.e., immigration. If you are further cutting levels of legal immigration, that means that you're going to have fewer working age people in the economy, because immigrants tend to be working age, legal or illegal, whether they're here, whatever their paper situation is.
Right.
So I think if the White House is really interested in juicing growth, having this kind of tax cut will juice growth a little bit in the near term, but not in the long term. In the long term, you need to think about things like the size of the workforce, the skill set of the workforce, and how do you get the economy growing based on the human capital that's here.
Catherine Pell at The Washington Post, Neela Richardson at Redfin on a Friday in This Economy. Thanks, you two.